Christ tempted. Christ tempted. One thing that this course and that I've tried to emphasize is how everything in the Bible points forward or backwards to the Lord Jesus. And one thing that I sometimes forget is how to put is that, yes, we like to delve into a passage and analyze it and explain it and apply it, and all that's good and necessary, but sometimes I forget to put it in its context, not just of the book, but of the whole Bible. And so to begin with, I'm going to show how this passage points back to Adam and to Moses. We looked at Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, and Ezra when we looked at Old Testament characters. Then we're going to dive into, that's general, that's a complete sweep. And then we're going to look at the passage. It won't be an in-depth, verse by verse, what I normally do. It's too long. And then we'll look at what it means to be in Christ and why being in Christ is beautiful. And what this passage means to us now that we are in Christ. So this passage in light of God's entire revealed will. Well, Jesus is in the wilderness and he's hungry and he's tempted. He's alone and he's weary. Contrast that with Adam. He was in the Garden of Eden. Some would use the term paradise. He had every longing of the human heart satisfied. He had intimate communion with God himself. He had a beautiful wife given to him by God. Everything was his. You shall have dominion over everything. God had given him everything in the created order as a gift, not to be exploited or to use however he willed, but to be used in service of the human race to the glory of God and in fellowship with him. And then sin entered the world. And Christ in the wilderness is a graphic picture of what sin does to people. It takes paradise and turns it into destitution. It takes intimacy with the glory of God and turns it into loneliness, barrenness. It destroys relationships. And Jesus, in this wilderness, paradise to wilderness. Fellowship and beauty and glory to dependence, hunger, thirst. And aloneness, that's a word. Obviously, God was with him. Contrast those two things. In Adam, all die, Paul says in Romans 5, in Christ, all live. They're the two pictures. Adam had paradise and lost it, and we all lost it in him. Christ went through the wilderness and gave us paradise. Adam was tempted, not even by Satan himself, by his wife. She was the one who was tempted of the serpent, and she was told, did God really say? And then she gave some to her husband. And that was his fault. That was Adam's fault. Adam squarely is blamed. He was the head. He should have protected his wife. Should have protected the garden. And he didn't. That's where sin starts. It's not before you do something you shouldn't do. You're normally not doing something you should. And contrast that. with the Lord Jesus Christ. Alone, hungry, and Satan himself tempts him. Also picture this, think of Moses. He led the Israelites through the Red Sea, through the wilderness of the desert, and the people went into the promised land. 40 years in the wilderness. Here's Jesus, goes through the water of baptism, 40 days in the wilderness, tested, and he passed. That too is a type. So the Exodus and the wandering through the wilderness, and they failed because they all died in the wilderness. God said, you will not, even to Moses himself, you will not enter the land because of rebellion. Christ passed the test. So where Adam fell in the garden, Christ passed in the wilderness. Where Israel fell in the wilderness, Christ passed in the wilderness. This is, in these few verses, this tiny passage that we do know so well. It's one of the famous ones. We see the entire revealed plan of salvation. And Jesus passes. Now we come to the passage itself. First of all, if you ever pray the Lord's Prayer and you wonder why the term lead us not into temptation is in there, you think, why do we ask God not to lead us into temptation? Surely he wouldn't lead us into temptation. Well, read Luke chapter 4. Full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's why you pray not to be tempted, because Jesus was led and tempted by the devil. That's why we should pray, lead us not into temptation. It's a prayer of complete dependence and submission to God. It's a prayer saying, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. And guess what? Christ himself had to pray that prayer. He who was God and man. He who knew no sin had to pray that. How much more do we, born in sin, need to pray that? We need you. There is a well-meaning. I could stand up here and say, when you're tempted, pray to be full of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, good. That's not going to stop you getting tempted. See, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Yeah, I'm seeing lots of confused faces. Do you know why? Because it's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's called the sovereignty of God. What we call God's providence, and the Puritans in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which I'm going to repurchase because they've just republished it, God's holy, wise, and powerful governing and preserving of all creatures and their actions. God is over everything. And that's why Scripture tells us to depend on him in fighting temptation and to fight in temptation. Or sometimes to run away. That's what Paul says. He says, fight the devil. But he doesn't say fight sexual sin. He says run away from it. What's the difference? A general fights when they think they can win the battle. They run when they know they can't. This is a mystery. It's something I don't understand. But to be quite frank, the past few months, there's a lot of things I don't understand. But God is over everything. And being full of the Spirit will not make temptation go away. And whoever told you it would probably loves you very much. And probably did it with the best will in the world. But they were mistaken. Christ was, what does Hebrews 1 say, anointed with the oil of gladness beyond his companions. And let's come to the nature of these temptations. Now, normally in a sermon on this passage, you would go through each temptation and go through what each of them means. I'm not going to do that today because I wanted to just spread abroad this passage. But what does Satan do? He uses scripture to try to persuade the Lord Jesus Christ to disobey God. In the garden, he didn't do that. He said, did God really say that? And you won't die if you do that. So he takes the word of God and says, that's not true. With Christ, he says, hey, look at the word of God. Do you believe it? Do this. You can do anything if you are the Son of God. God himself declared it at his baptism. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Or you are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Or in whom I delight in. And then Satan, hearing the word of God, says, let's see about that. So he comes to him and takes the scriptures and presents it to Christ in such a way that it wasn't intended. And Christ puts it in its correct meaning. The two of the temptations, they're not bad things to want. That it's not bad to want your daily bread. Again, that's something Jesus told us to pray for. It's not wrong to want God to protect you and to stop you from dashing your foot against a stone. They're good things. And that's a lot of sin, isn't it? It's a good thing taken too far. A good thing perverted to become bad. Like food. Like the blessings of modern life. Like a lot of things. One of the temptations was straight up wrong. You know, I can give you all this. And Jesus says, Jesus combats it by quoting scripture, but ultimately, one of these combatants in this battle loved God, and the other did not. And that's why Christ loved God, loves God. And so when he quotes scripture, he says, no, you're quoting scripture in such a way that makes God less. Yeah, I could depend on God to give him a daily bread. No, sorry, excuse me. I could just do that, but I'll depend on God to give him my daily bread. And I'll keep this fast that I've done. Yes, okay, even if you could give me all the kingdoms of the world, God hasn't given them to me, so I'll trust him. Because I love him. Even in the hard times, as Jesus was. Yes, I could throw myself off the temple, but actually, that reminds me of people who, you know, say, I'll trust God, but, you know, don't do anything for themselves. You know, don't put your seatbelt on and then slam on at the red light and then say, why didn't God protect me from going through the windscreen? No, he did protect you. He gave somebody the brain to create a seatbelt that you didn't use. That's John Lennox is really good for that in mechanism versus agency. You know, God doesn't cause a rock to fall. Gravity does. It's like, no, mechanism and agency. Mechanism is gravity. Agency is God overruling everything. Is it me talking or the microphone that's enabling you to hear me? No, it's both mechanism and agency. I am the agent. This is the mechanism. You see? But Christ puts God in his place. You know, unfortunately, a lot of us preachers, including me, we use the Bible as an end in itself. You know, we want to read it, we want to study it, we want to preach it, we want to know it really well. We'll never admit it, but we'd love to impress people about how well we know it and how well we preach on it, but we're too humble to say so out loud. Eric's not, but Eric is, but I'm not. Sorry. Sorry, Uncle Eric. It always goes wrong when I try and tell a joke. Sorry, Uncle Eric. But Jesus passes the test because he loves God. Now, there is a little bit of a question to be raised here. If Jesus was God and sinless, did he really feel tempted? Yes. Anyone who's wrestled with temptation knows how hard it is to resist. I submit to you that anyone, and I'm not being flippant when I say this, anyone who has wrestled with a diet knows how hard it is to resist temptation. Seriously, think how hard that is. Think how hard resisting chocolate is. And I'm not being flippant. I'm being serious. Or caffeine. It's my vice too. Now imagine sin. Imagine this. John MacArthur gives a beautiful, well, it's a tragic analogy, but it makes the point. John MacArthur, a preacher from the US, when he was younger, rode a motorbike. And one day he came off it in an accident. And being a young man, he didn't wear leathers. And he went right across the road. And all his flesh was torn. You can imagine what happened. And it came to a point that the pain was so great, his body shut down. Because that's what the body does. It's a defense mechanism. It shuts, because if you did feel the pain, it would kill you. It says in the Bible that God won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. We have a shutdown point with temptation. Christ didn't. That's like John MacArthur coming off his bike and his pain, his body not shutting down because of the pain. Christ felt it to the extreme, to the nth degree, to the ultimate. And when you grow in holiness, sin becomes more distasteful to you. I always think of a story Eric and Jackie told. They went to a Christian conference for a week, and then in the supermarket they heard somebody swear. And it was, oh, how could you say that? Now imagine if you're the holy, pure, lovely, altogether lovely Son of God, who knew no sin, who hated it, and who loved, didn't just hate it, but loved holiness, righteousness, humility, love, kindness, and all that. Imagine how abhorrent it was to him. So all these temptations, he would have felt them far more than you would have. The holier you are, if you think growing in holiness will make you not feel temptation, you feel it more. Now this can all get very heavy. I appreciate that. And it's my job as a preacher to tell you the truth. But I don't want to tell you it in such a way that makes you go, I want you to look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean that Christ passed the test? It means that Christ is pure, holy, blameless, above reproach, 100% righteous in the sight of God. God gives us all a test that we have to pass 100%. Well, he passed 100% from a pure heart of love, kindness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He lived it all. He was it all. Every moment of his existence, from his conception to now in his glorified humanity. And because you're in Christ, that's how God sees you. So when you look at this passage and you see Christ, full of the Spirit, setting his face like flint, obeying God, you can say, yet not I, but through Christ in me. I have the victory because of Jesus Christ. I am righteous before God because of Jesus Christ. I can and I will experience victory over temptation and sin because I am in Jesus Christ. Because that Holy Spirit that filled him filled us. He poured him out, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, Titus 3. We are in Christ, who is filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. We're united to him, so we are filled with him. And we can cry out, Lord, lead me not into temptation and preserve me. Yes, we are given the word of God to fight against temptation, but we do it in the power of the Spirit, submitting to Christ. And not remember, Christ could overcome temptation. Why? Because he loved God. Grow in love for God. The greatest love of all is the love of God and the love of your neighbor. God, the infinite, eternal and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth, who exists in three persons, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, equal in power and glory, the one whose glory shines forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and invites us to come into fellowship with him. Love him. Love him this day. And you can love him, why? Because you're in Christ. And the love that he has for God, you can have it because you're united to him in Christ. In Christ. Trevor Bell always used to say it. How are Christians described most often in the Bible? In Christ. Christian is about 3 or 4 times. In Christ, that's over and over and over and over and over and over again. So what to do with this? The temptation of Christ is essential to the story of salvation. It is essential. And by the way, this isn't the only time Christ was tempted. He would have been tempted like we were every day. And indeed, the hardest passage to read is Gethsemane, the night before he died. Luke, which this passage is taken from, Luke says he sweat, great drops of blood. That's actually a medical thing. You can do that. Not necessarily supernatural to sweat blood. The stress you are under to do that is excruciating. But I love Matthew's passage. I think it's Matthew anyway. He says he fell down and said, Lord, your will be done. Christ was tempted, but he passed the test. So if you're not in Christ today, may you come to him, who is our righteousness, our holiness, our wisdom, our redemption, our bread of life, our living water, our gate to the sheep, our first and last, our altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful Lord and Savior and friend. Come to him this very day, he who passed the test. You haven't passed it. He did. And so you go in God's righteousness and receive the Holy Spirit, who changes our hearts, who gives us new loves, new desires, new hopes, new dreams. And who can say, the old has passed away, the new has come. Yes, the Christian life is hard. Anything worth doing is hard. And Christ, who not just gives us the example, yes, he gives us the example, but he gives us the power to do it. To those who love him and delight in him, and to those who he loves and delights in. So come to him this very day. Yes, this is a high, and we have touched on high and mysterious topics. Yes, there will be another day when we have conversations about them. Yes, there'll be other sermons on them. And yes, there'll be times when we think, I don't like that. And that, if you're, that's you, I hear you. I really do. But today I want to say, as we come to the supper, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, what's the chorus? Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Give us Jesus, we cry. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. The pearl of greatest price. That's a Sovereign Grace song. First album I ever bought of theirs. Eric actually bought me another copy when he went to Keswick, based on the prayers of the Purans. I haven't listened to that song for years. I'll change that tonight. I'll put it on social media through the week for you. Lord Jesus Christ, you were tempted and you passed the test. Thank you that you save failures like us. Thank you that you give us power. We pray that you give us a heart to love you and to love each other. And may we grow in grace and glory, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the glory of God. And may that day come when we are glorified with you forever. And we pray that we would, rejoice in you through your word and round the table now. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.